Hey, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Natural Fertility with Dr. Jane. Of course, I'm Dr. Jane. I'm doing another solo podcast today, and I'm going to switch gears and talk a little bit about my mission, vision, and the process of what it's like to work with us as a clinic. I am going to talk about our success rates, what we expect from our patients in order to be able to hit that success rate. And the reason I made some of these changes is because I am hiring more practitioners, and I made some pretty big internal changes within the team. And I've realized that the mission and the vision that I have, if I'm not crystal clear in terms of what it is I'm trying to accomplish by building this company and being, you know, a naturopathic doctor and a natural fertility expert, that message is going to get diluted, and I'm not going to end up where I want to end up, and it's not going to create the impact that I so desperately want to see in the world. So if you are new to me, you know that you probably don't know that I've been a naturopathic doctor for 10 years and specializing in fertility for the last 5 years. And really, in the last 5 years, I've dedicated myself to learn as much as I can about the fertility space and to, of course, support couples on their fertility journey. So myself and the clinic, we have a success rate of 70%. And I actually ended up recalculating it just the other day. And it's actually closer to 80%, which is fascinating. But the caveat is the partner has to be on board, and not just on board, but he has to be showing up to the meetings. He has to be implementing the changes that we are making. Because when I first started, I was just working with women. And then I realized that when I just work with women, I'm missing 50% of the equation. So now it's not even really an option for us not to have the partner involved. But it doesn't mean that the partner can and does implement everything. And of course, there's a lot of coaching that we do to support the partners and filtering the process to make sure that both of you guys are on board and you really want to implement all the changes that we're going to recommend. And all of those changes are not just something that we think you should be doing. We are doing that based on data and lab work. So the first caveat is that the partner has to be on board and he has to implement. And then the second thing is that you have to have worked with us for at least 6 months. Now, as a company, as a person, I hate contracts. So I don't do contracts with my clients. Everything is month to month. As long as you're getting value working with us, then we're happy to continue to provide that value. And I have clients who, you know, financially could only afford working 6 months with me. And then I have clients that I've been working on for 2 years now. And some of them are still struggling to conceive. And there's just been a lot that has come up, and we're working through those things as the challenges are coming up, navigating the conventional system. Maybe it's multiple losses, being able to get access to the right testing, being on waiting lists, all of this stuff. And then, of course, there is couples who I have supported through their fertility journey, through their pregnancy, and the first few months of postpartum. And then they end up kind of going and just settling and enjoying, you know, their baby. And then when they're ready to come back for baby number two, they do. So I don't want to create any contracts. We, as practitioners, as a company, we don't have any of those, because genuinely, if you're getting value, then I want you to continue to work with us. And if you're not, then we'll totally set you up for a maintenance plan, because what we do short-term is very different than what we do long-term. Short-term, I'm changing protocols on a regular basis. You know, we're testing things, making sure that the infection is clearing or that, you know, the blood markers are improving in the direction that we want them to improve. Versus long-term, you're just looking to settle into maintenance of what are the basics that I just need to keep doing to maintain the level of health that I have achieved. So that's kind of the first thing. What I will say is every quarter I'm looking at the success rates, and I'm looking at, you know, there's couples that I've worked with. Now, most of my couples will get pregnant within 9 to 10 months, and then some are a little bit later. And there is a few that I'm still working with right now that has been over 18-month mark. And generally, there is a lot to the story here. Whether there was a lot to unpack at the beginning, there was a lot going on. There could be some things that were misdiagnosed. There could be some pregnancy losses that essentially just extended that timeline. Because if you had 2 or 3 losses in a row, sometimes we need to take 6 to 9 months for the body to reset and reboot. And then there's times like timing your IVF cycle or any ART cycle, or even waiting for some specialty testing that can just extend that timeline. So I always, always want to be very transparent. I've had couples who got pregnant in, you know, 4 months. And like I said, I have couples who are still working on getting pregnant, and then some end up taking a break and then coming back because, let's face it, this journey is long and overwhelming. But what my promise is like, if you want to have a baby, I'm going to help you figure out how to have a baby. It might take you a lot longer than what you think it's going to take. And it might not be the way that you want it originally, but we're going to max out all the things that we can naturally. And this kind of belief that I have is the body has inner wisdom. It is very much built to procreate. And so if pregnancy is not happening, or if it's not, you know, it's not sustaining, something is missing. And my job, our job as practitioners, is to figure out what that is and see if we can correct it. And then also know when it's time to bring in something extra to help, because let's say the body does need a little bit of help or a little bit of nudge to start ovulating again. This is where the conventional system can be super, super useful. And so our job as practitioners is to just identify the roadblocks that you're facing, and those roadblocks are changing as time is moving on, and then obviously depending on what you have done to date. So let me tell you a little bit about the mission and the vision, and I'm going to just draw some stuff out for you, because I want to be very transparent in terms of what it's like to work with us. And then when I say I have a 70 or an 80% success rate, we do not take on that many patients. I only have 30 patients at a time. Like, every practitioner is maxed out at 30 people. And because we meet so frequently and so often, and we're so invested in every case, it's, to be honest, I find it's difficult to have more than many patients with the level of care that we want to provide. And I'll tell you why I've set it up this way, because obviously if you're listening to the podcast, or maybe you are in the Fertility 101 program, which is the group program, we can help a lot more people, and we do, but the level of, attention and care that we can provide it's not that much. Just because the more I do this, the deeper I go, the more the research I need to do and the investigation and unpacking the case, and then making sure that I'm supporting my couples every step of the way, because let's face it, there is a lot to minimize the amount of time that it takes them. I just don't think you can do it with that many people. I haven't figured it out yet, so I'll let you know when I do. But my mission, and this is, whether you're new to me or not, hopefully this is something that you've heard me say a couple of times, is that we want to help couples struggling with infertility to conceive and bring healthy babies home. And what I ended up doing is just really opening that up in the last, kind of expanding on this mission, is that this work just extends so much further than conception. It's about building generational health. So when we help future parents heal, their impact ripples into every part of life: stronger families, healthier communities, and a more balanced planet. Now, if it sounds like I'm getting emotional, I'm going to try not to, but the first time I presented this to my team, I genuinely ended up crying, because I'm like, this is so important to me. And I wake up every day thinking about, like, how can we help people not just get pregnant, but build this generational health. So this work extends far beyond conception, because everything is connected: the way we nourish ourselves, the way we relate, the way we care for the earth. Our mission reduces reliance on pharmaceuticals, lowers disease burden, restores joy and fulfillment, and reminds humanity that nature already gave us the tools to heal. By helping couples create life consciously, we are helping life itself thrive. This is really close to my heart. And I'll tell you, if you've been following me for a while, you know exactly why I got into the fertility space. And if you're new, I'm just going to give you a really quick refresher. My first pregnancy rocked me. I was already a naturopathic doctor and I was an athlete, and I could not believe how hard pregnancy was for me, how sick I was, how, literally nauseous and vomiting, and how just uncomfortable I felt. And I was shocked that nobody prepared me for the journey to come. And then when labor hit and I literally had no idea how to push my baby out, I just realized how many blind spots I had and that nobody prepared me for this, even though I considered myself really healthy and very aware of my body. I did have postpartum depression with my first that I actually didn't even realize until I had my second baby 4 years later, because I never had that really strong connection with my first baby because I was so depleted, because the pregnancy really took me out. So that was the first kind of experience that made me realize, like, if this is what I went through, what are other women going through that don't have the background in the body and the supplements and diet and lifestyle that, you know, I do. The second thing that happened was my sister, who was 37 at the time, was told that after 6 months of trying, if you don't conceive, we can go ahead and just sign you up for IVF and, you know, we'll get you pregnant. That was kind of what her doctor told her. And I thought that was crazy, that they didn't do any like diet, lifestyle, any kind of consultations, like you should do some supplements or you should prioritize your rest and sleep and digestion. None of that. I knew my sister. I knew she was in the corporate world. I knew she was on birth control, you know, for over 15 years. I knew that she often underslept and undernourished herself. So to me, it was like, that's crazy. They're just going to tell you to do IVF. I thought IVF was resorted to something, to quote unquote, really bad cases, you know, some mysterious cases where they couldn't figure it out. And it was just this eye-opening experience. I was like, no, that's all they have to recommend. There's nothing else that they have. So my sister has now two baby boys. First one she gave birth at 38, the other one basically at 40. And she didn't do IVF. She just came to me and said, hey, we're struggling to conceive. What do you think it is? I did not specialize in fertility then. I just had my intuition that said, hey, you were on birth control for a long time and you've been like really stressed for the last 10 years. Maybe we can just like unwind some of that and boost nutrients and then you'll be okay. And turns out that's what it was. And the third thing that really pushed me over the edge is when I had my miscarriage and I was heartbroken, obviously, and I didn't expect it. And my midwife was like, you have to have at least two more miscarriages before we can send you for any testing. And that was infuriating to me because I knew that you take at least 3 months post-miscarriage to recover. Then it might take you 3 months to conceive. Then you might have another miscarriage that will take at least 3 months. And then 3 months to I'm like, I'm not waiting for two more years to find out if something is wrong or not. And when I shared my story, and this was like back in the day when I just had a personal account and I just shared my story of how frustrating it was, my inbox was full of women sharing their horrific stories. Now, this is just my general account. This is not when I was specializing in fertility. If I shared that kind of story now, I would be filled with thousands of messages. But back then when I had 500 followers and I had literally tens of messages of women just sharing their story, it made me go, oh my God, like this is a huge hole. And of course, I just realized that this is something that I think is really important. And if I could help my sister and if I could help myself, I wonder how many other women out there are struggling. And turns out there are a lot. So I got into this space because it was very personal. And I think as a woman, when I sit down in front of other women who are told they'll never be able to have children, now having my own children is not something that I would take lightly. And it almost triggers me about some of the things that women are told about their bodies. And I have to, you know, set those boundaries and make sure that I don't take that emotional energy, but I do help my patients process it and get through it. Because my God, if somebody told me I couldn't have my children, I would fight for them too. And I want you to fight for your future children. I just want to make sure that we are not pushing ourselves further away from being able to have children. And I see that all the time. And what I mean by that is a woman that comes to me who's had five IVF cycles and her uterine lining is really thick and her FSH is now elevated. She's exhausted, carrying an extra 20 pounds. Her hair is falling out. She is not closer to conceiving than she was when she started because the amount of drugs that she was put through told that this is the thing that you need to do. And intuitively, she knew that something is wrong. I don't know, but she would just push through. She would just push through because obviously trusting the authority that this is the only way that I'm going to get pregnant and forgetting how spiritual this journey really is and how intuitive we are and how powerful that intuition is in helping us create life. So I've had many women who have come through IVF cycles and go, I wish I didn't do that. And it doesn't mean that they don't need to do it again, because trust me, I think ART is fascinating and we've been able to do some really cool stuff. But we still need to prepare and we still really need to understand the mechanism behind why the body is not doing what it's supposed to be doing, the natural pregnancy of conception. So this mission is very close to my heart. And as I expand the team, and whether that's practitioners or my marketing team or my administrative team, I need everyone to be very crystal clear and behind this mission and vision, because I know that we are up against a lot in the conventional world. And so All that to say, I apologize for getting emotional, but it is very close to my heart. The vision for the team, if you will, and for the company is to redefine fertility care worldwide, leading with science, heart, and integrity. We want to set a new standard for natural fertility care. We're going to do that through cutting-edge research, advanced lab testing, and holistic treatment that supports true healing for both partners. Our work stands as a model for what's possible when medicine honors both nature and data. So if you're listening to this and you're like, I freaking wish that my doctor just showed me some more science and some more data, and whether that's your conventional doctor or your holistic provider, I think that we have to be rooted in data, because not only data drives compliance. So if I, for example, let's talk about something as simple as an Oura ring or some kind of tracker, like a continuous glucose monitor. If I look at my continuous glucose monitor and I can see that my blood sugar is elevating after every time I eat potato chips, that data gives me information that my body is not handling those potato chips and I need to change my behavior if I want to change the data. That is a very kind of quick example and a simple example, but that's true for any kind of data that we collect. So if I'm looking at an antral follicle count and I can see that those follicles are not growing and maturing, I need to look deeper and understand, is it the brain not sending the signal or the message to the ovaries? Is it a blood vessel issue? Is it like blood volume, blood supply? Is it a nutrient level issue? And so we need to be driven into data, because the data is what's going to provide us with clarity on this whole journey. And every time, I'm going to share my screen in a second here, and I'm going to just show you how we approach this, because if we cannot explain what we do, then how are you supposed to follow that? I think that's really, really important. So whether you decide to work with us or you're picking another practitioner, and whether that's on the holistic side or on the conventional side, I want you to actually interview your practitioners and make sure you understand what you're doing and why you're doing it and what the possible outcomes are. I know they always say there's no guarantees. I don't say that there is a guarantee, but I always say that there's something missing and I need to figure out what that is. We need to get you answers before we start experimenting with treatments. And treatments in the fertility space are very expensive, not just financially, but for the body. The ovaries don't like to be messed around with. So if you're doing a bunch of surgeries on the ovaries or retrievals or even PRP, you have to be sure that that is the right thing that your body and your ovaries or any section of the reproductive system or any section in your body, period. You have to be sure that that's exactly what you need. Because if you do a surgery without properly preparing or not dealing with infections or not decreasing inflammation, it tends to throw you into something that's much, much worse. And I, of course, like, you know, as a natural fertility expert, I see this stuff all the time. And that's, you know, part of why we want to fix it. So let me share my screen and I'm just going to draw some stuff for you. Because I think explaining via drawing sometimes is super simple. So I'm just going to give you an overview first of, you know, why people come to us and our approach. And what I'll say is, if this is lining up for you, then I welcome you to fill out an application form and see how and if we're the right practitioners to help you. But basically, everybody who comes to see us, they want to have a healthy pregnancy. That's what HP stands for in the middle. And the reason that you can't do that is because you don't actually have any answers. You don't know what's going on. And so when you don't have answers, you can't find anything that's working. And then there's no professional support that's reliable or consistent. If you're nodding your head and you're like, yep, that's exactly what's happening, we see this day in and day out. So anybody that you connect with on my team, this is exactly what we see, and obviously we want to correct. So the first thing that we do before anything is we need to get you answers. And what I say is we need to get you personalized answers, because the reason that you are not getting pregnant is very different than John and Katie, than Paul and Amanda, than, you know, Ryan and Susie. So we need to understand why the physical biochemical level of why the body is not doing what it's quote unquote supposed to be doing. Then once we find answers, then we can make a plan, a step-by-step plan with milestones. You need to have milestones along the way. So healthy pregnancy is the big thing that we're trying to achieve, but there is milestones along the way that tell me as a practitioner that you're moving in the right direction. And whether that's your blood markers that are improving or your sleep that's improving or your digestive markers that are improving, you know, your nutrient levels that are improving, we need to actually have tangible milestones. And then, of course, instead of doing this alone or being left with a protocol to fend for yourself, we are going to provide you with professional support that's reliable and consistent. Because let's face it, if you've been trying to conceive for over a year, it is unlikely that you can figure it out on your own. Now, I say this because most of my couples come to me who've been struggling to conceive for 2, 3, 4, 5 years, and they haven't been able to figure it out with other practitioners. And the other practitioners are usually not specializing in fertility. So I'm not talking about IVF specialists, like fertility specialists, because some couples are obviously trying to avoid that route altogether. But I've had couples who are, you know, going to see other acupuncturists or other functional doctors who don't specialize in fertility, and they still can't figure out why the body is, you know, not getting pregnant or not sustaining that pregnancy. And if you're new to this journey, then chances are anything you listen to on my podcast about reducing stress, improving your diet, you know, drinking clean water, starting taking proper doses of ubiquinol, optimizing your digestion. If you do those things, chances are you will get pregnant. So if fertility is not a super big struggle for you, then implementing those changes that we recommend on the lives, on the podcast, on, you know, on the social media, chances are that's going to work for you. But if you've been already implementing all of those things, then it's unlikely that just adding another supplement is what you need to do. And so I want to kind of really anchor you into logic here instead of feel and emotion. And so every time we meet with our couples, the men love this. They go, "This is so logical. I love that you have an explanation," as opposed to, "Let's just see how this turns out." So that's overall what's happening. You know, that's kind of our approach, if you will. Now, let me tell you a little bit about the timeline and just kind of what to expect as we start. So the first thing that we do is called an initial consultation, and this is a two-hour appointment done with both you and your partner, and basically we do a very deep dive into your history, so into your history and then into your symptoms. So whatever symptoms you're experiencing now, from digestion, menstrual cycle, libido, skin, you know, headaches, exercise, anything, we dive in and we really want to understand what's going on. And of course, we go into your history. And the depth of history we go into really depends on what's going on for you. So if you're a woman struggling with POI or even PCOS or endometriosis, and you've never had a proper cycle, your history and what happens between 0 to 7 or during your teenage years becomes very, very important, because that is the foundation that actually probably started the disease. And in POI especially, but even in PCOS and endometriosis, I want to understand the mom's history, her health during pregnancy, her state of stress during pregnancy, how she nourished herself, the labor, the experience when, you know, the baby was first born. I can't tell you how many times women go, "I don't really know. I don't think anything happened." And then they'll go and talk to their mom and be like, "Oh, she had a really stressful time during pregnancy," or "her dad, my dad tried to leave her at that time and she had to run away," or, you know, "We were moving. There was a big fight that broke out. There was some kind of trauma." So we have to really unpack the case and just understand what's going on. The biggest thing that people kind of, the couples walk away with, is they go, "I didn't realize how connected everything was. That, like, wow, I didn't realize how far back it goes, and I didn't realize how connected it was." Once the initial consultation is done, 1 to 2 days later, we do something called a fertility assessment call. And this is really where we give you our assessment around what we think is happening, like a summary that's more digestible. And we start talking about labs and what's missing. So, like, what labs do we need to run? Most couples, depending on what's going on for you, will run 3 to 4 labs each. And so that will include things like blood work, that will include methylation, a vaginal microbiome, a gut microbiome, a nutrient panel. Some will do a variation of a dried test, a dried urine test for comprehensive hormones. Again, once we have the initial consultation and we know what labs you've done in the past, this is where we as practitioners are going to sit down and say, hey, you have this piece of the puzzle, but there is like this other giant piece of the puzzle that actually has not been uncovered at all. And we need to do some more lab testing to basically understand what's going on. And what I will say is, depending on if you can get the labs done with your practitioner or not, most couples are spending like $3,000 would be on the really low side, and up to $8,000 to $9,000. And the $9,000 is typically like you're doing everything and you want to do everything. And, you know, we kind of present a couple of options. We say, here's what we need. Here's what we'd love. And we, of course, have couples who are like, we want to do it all. We don't want to leave anything unturned. But the goal for the fertility assessment call is to for you to have a really clear picture of like, oh my God, this is exactly what's missing. And here's what we need to do next. So it's like this really important clarity that starts to come in to, you know, into your journey. After the fertility assessment call, we do something called the lab planning call. And that is because you just getting so many labs done. The goal here is you just know when to get the labs done, how to do them correctly, when to time it with your cycle. Because as much as I would love to not run these labs, they can be such a headache for you guys, but also for us on the back end, because we don't run labs from the same company, because not every single, like not one company has the best standard for each lab. So like methylation panel, the best standard is from this lab. And then the gut stool analysis is over here. And then the blood work is over here. And so we as a team, and you know how I shared my vision, is like we want to set a new standard in natural fertility care. And we're very driven by results. And the way that we're able to get results is actually by running the proper lab work. So that is a very like, hey, get the labs done. And we're going to walk you through. And you know exactly how to do them. After the lab planning call is done, we do something called the data review call. And the data review call is done with us practitioners, where we're actually are just going to look at your data. And so whether you have a device that it can connect to our platform, or you just start to like collect information of what you've been eating, how you're sleeping, how many bowel movements you have a day, how much water you're drinking. You just do that for 5 to 7 days. But just give us an idea of like, what is it like to be you? And the biggest aha moment that most couples have is, I'm not as healthy as I thought I was. And that's just because you get a really big window into like, oh my God, I thought I ate more protein than that. Or I thought that I ate more than that. Or I thought I ate less than that. Or I thought I moved more than that. Or I thought my sleep would be better. And this is just really important, because then we can personalize what you need. So if I'm not just sitting there and going, you need to eat more protein, I can say, you need to eat 30 grams of protein in the morning, and here's exactly how you're going to do that. And whether that's going to be a smoothie, or you're going to have 2 eggs, or you're going to have 2 eggs plus sausage links, we're going to help you build that out. And it's something that we essentially just keep doing and building on, but we want to address the biggest red flags. And I don't need to see lab work to know that you need to eat more protein, or that you need to sleep more, or that you need to drink more water. So there's definitely things that we can start working on while we wait for the labs. And then after the data review call, we have the lab review call. And that is probably just the biggest aha moment. Like, I have people who are so excited to freaking get their labs, because this is the first time they go, wow, these are the answers. I'm not crazy. This has been off, and I just didn't know about it, and no one has showed me. And whether that's crazy levels of mold that people see, or a parasite, or their immune system in the gut is, you know, a mess, or they're like probiotics are all over the place, or they have blood in the stool. Like, there's so many things that we find out because you just ran very extensive lab testing. There is never a moment where you go, ugh, I wish I didn't run these labs, it was a waste. It's usually, man, I wish I would have done this sooner, because I can't believe the answers that I'm getting from this. And then, of course, after that, we kick into the protocol, and we do change, protocol once a month, because what we say, you know, I kind of draw the staircase. what you're going to do on the first step of your journey versus the second versus the third versus the fourth needs to change. The body is going to change. You're going to notice a difference. You're going to start building new habits, all of that stuff. And our job as practitioners just to make sure we give you the right therapy at the right time. That's, you know, my saying, right therapy, right person, right time. And a lot of the times when I do meet couples is they're doing a lot of really good things, but they're just implementing it in the wrong order. And that order really does matter. And then we do meet with our couples one-on-one every 2 weeks because, like I said, there's just a lot of things that start to shift. And we want to teach you about your body. And we want to make sure that you are moving in the right direction and you're not waiting. You know, we have a portal where you can message us and we'll reply within 24 to 48 hours because it's like, I don't want you to wait for 2 weeks to ask a question. If you are like, what is this thing that you said? Or what is I started doing this, but I forgot. So we'll always share session notes. We have video modules that you can watch and pull yourself along. We have recipes and kind of how I create the protocols is I always say, like, these are the supplements, but then I want you to start making these recipes, or I want you to do these castor oil packs, or we're going to start this 10-week detox. And all of this is based on data. So our men really love it because men are very logical creatures and they're very, and don't get me wrong, as a woman, I also like data, but I just realized how much data actually drives not just compliance, but results. Like if you don't retest as a practitioner or even as a patient, if you don't retest blood work ever, how do you know the treatment that you did is actually working? So I think that that's something that I do with myself and my husband, and I always share those things with my family and then obviously with my patients. And most of you guys, honestly, you want to know. And I would say I'm blown away by how many practitioners, like conventional side, don't actually test and will just give drugs. So the most common thing I've heard recently is PCOS. Oh, you have PCOS, you should be on metformin. I'm like, well, do you have blood sugar dysregulation? And it's like, no, I don't think so. Her HbA1c is at like 4.6. Fasted blood glucose is great. Fasted insulin is great. So why would you put her on metformin? She might have more androgen imbalances. She still has inflammation. She's still not ovulating the way that she should. There's probably stress that is involved, but she doesn't have insulin resistance. And although that's uncommon in the PCOS world, most women will have some kind of insulin resistance. That doesn't mean it's that Band-Aid solution. So whether it's a conventional practitioner and on the holistic side, I see that all the time because you're like, well, I don't want to spend the money on the test. Well, why would you spend $300-$500 a month on supplements if you know if they're not working? It makes sense to retest and to look because you tend to spend way less money on supplements and you actually get the results that you want, which actually makes you want to continue to, you know, take care of yourself. So I hope you guys, this gives you a little bit of an idea of what it's like to work with us and as a team and our mission and our vision. And I think that I share a lot of content on my podcast and obviously social media and stories because I genuinely want people to see and feel what it's like to be healthy and what it's like to build a healthy family. And in our day and age, it is so hard to do it. It is easier to be unhealthy than it is to be healthy. It is so hard to source high quality food. It is really hard to, you know, making sure you have water filtration and air filtration and you're exercising and you're sleeping well and then you're getting away from all the EMFs. I know that there's a lot coming at you guys. And so I hope that the podcast, for those of you who are new on your journey, just really helps you set that foundation so you can pass these really great habits on to your babies. And for those of you who have been struggling for a long time, I just want to inspire you to know that your body is not broken and there's just something that is missing. Your body is talking to you all the time. And sometimes it just forgets how to do something. You know, it has this inner wisdom, but it can forget because it's been bombarded. And I'll use my case of POI, this case that I've recently taken on, where during kind of the initial consultation and I drew out the timeline of everything that happened from, like, you know, the time you were born to now, there was just hit after hit after hit. So she was a little baby, like 5 pounds, sickly, always sick. Mom was kind of disconnected and aloof. They didn't expect her as a baby. So there was a little bit of that energy of like, oh my God, what are we going to do? And we're not ready for this. And the dad was way more in tune with the baby than the mom, which I think is a huge red flag because we as women have so much more connection. So it just kind of tells me that the mom probably experienced some pretty heavy postpartum depression that she was just, quote unquote, not aware of. So there's more history to unpack there. She was quite sick as a kid. At 6 years old, she almost died because she got a crazy virus. And again, it was her dad that pulled her out and literally like she decided to stay for him. Like her soul had this experience and she remembers this. And then when she was a teenager, she was bullied because she was so small and she couldn't gain weight. And, you know, people were watching her eat and thought she was anorexic. Like that's really like teenage years is really rough because that's when the brain and the ovaries are connecting. And so that connection obviously wasn't there, or not as strong, I should say. Then she was on birth control for a long time, which literally disconnects the brain and the ovaries, and therefore us from our bodies and intuition and creative centers. And she was also sexually abused when basically the first time she had sex. And so I listen to the story and my heart breaks. And it's like, of course, this makes sense why the ovaries have shut down. Of course, it makes sense why you're carrying so much grief and sadness and pain and your body is still stuck in that, you know, fight or flight from all of these years of just being disconnected from the feminine energy from your mom. It really started with, but now from yourself. And the journey to that is to heal. And so then the question is always like, well, now that I know all this, how do I do it? There's multiple ways to heal from that. And I share all of this on my podcasts, you know, with different case studies. But it starts with, okay, let's start taking care of ourselves. Let's start to fix the digestion. Let's start to eat nourishing meals. Let's start taking certain supplements that are going to wake up the ovaries. Let's then maybe as things start to come up emotionally, as you're ready to process them, let's do a therapy session or maybe a breath work session or even psilocybin or something that's going to connect us to the subconscious and help us process that trauma. It's the right therapy, right person, right time. So depending on this, like she's already done some really fantastic work. So for her right now, we're really unwinding the nervous system and just opening up that world of bringing awareness to the fact that this didn't start 8 years ago. This is generational. And I have a book that I got her to read and her, with her partner, and doing some really simple connection work with him as well, just like skin to skin contact to start feeling that oxytocin and flooding the body with euphoria instead of fear. And as simple as it sounds, you guys, it really works. And this is why I get so emotional talking about the mission. It reminds us that humanity, that nature already gave us the tools to heal. That's really, really important. Nature has already given us the tools to heal. And sometimes we're so in it, it's really hard to see what that tool is. And that's why having another perspective and someone who is doing the work and like myself and my practitioners, I'm like, you guys, if you don't do the work yourself, you're not going to be able to take patients that far. The reason that I can unpack all of this and I continue to invest time and energy to work with healers who are my mentors to help me unravel myself more and more and more so that I can be present deeper for my patients and be able to do that for them. So it's really, really important to have somebody. And a lot of the times with fertility care, you need a team. You know, I don't claim to do all the things for my patients, but I do tend to be that kind of center where they're going to be able to go to me when they need to. So then they say, okay, what's my next step? And maybe that's a counselor, or maybe that's a new protocol that we need to do, or maybe that's a physical therapy of some kind. The point is that we need to keep, you know, we just need to keep progressing. So like I said, I hope you guys find this really helpful. And if you want to, if this is really resonating for you, I really encourage you to fill out an application and then we'll reach out and see if we can help. Like I said, our success rate is 70 to 80% right now. It takes on average about 9 to 10 months to conceive. Although there is, of course, people who fall outside of those windows. And then I do have some cases that I'm working on right now that are well over 40. So on average, the age, again, we have some 25-year-olds and then we have usually 39 and 40. But I do have some couples right now who are 42, 45, you know, 43. And I hope to share those testimonies with you in the next in the new year, basically, when it will be time to share those. So I'll keep sharing the stories because I think that's really what allows you to go, okay, it's possible for me too. And so if there's a part of you that go, I wonder if there's more here and I wonder if she can help or they can help, fill out an application and we'll either show you what it looks like to work with us or we will point you in the right direction. But thank you again for being here. I truly, genuinely appreciate it. And if this podcast helps you in any way, shape or form on your fertility journey, I am so grateful for that because I just know that this work is really needed. And I have such a strong belief in the body and then women's bodies and how incredible they are. And I just hope that you don't write yourself off too soon and that you really make this fertility journey your healing journey. And whatever that brings on the next side is going to be so much more than you ever expected than when we just kind of push through this journey to, you know, to get to the other side. So remember that your fertility journey is your healing journey. Thanks so much for being here and I'll see you guys soon.